Blog Talk Radio.
The issue is not the election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the parts of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is, in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. There is unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against that evil empire.
There's a
thing in the news about 1,000 banks to fail in the coming year or two. 1,000 banks to fail, that's a lot of banks. I didn't even know there were single banks left. I thought they all merged with each other. A couple of years ago, when I first started looking at Bible prophecy, it was about 1994. I learned at that time that the New World Order wanted to synchronize or gather together all entities of society, meaning they wanted to. They figured the more consolidated it is, the more easy it is to control. Because when you have smaller entities, it is harder to control. So back in the day, back in 94, when I first learned about the New World Order, and I started listening to Anthony J. Hilder, his programs, he had some tapes, I think it was a videotape out at that time, and then Ralph Apperson, I think I'm saying this right, and Edward Griffin, I think it is. I started noticing that they were kind of synchronizing, making things more consolidated to better control. Because if it's too many small pieces, you have to control, it's much harder. So now they built a system so that the smaller banks can fail so they can continue to consolidate. I was listening to one of the Peter Schiff on YouTube, and he was talking about how the government would intervene, but they would intervene in the wrong way, meaning they believe that spending money is a good way to intervene. That's just like me throwing gasoline on the fire, and it gets worse. So that's the way they have us thinking, even in society, that good is evil and evil is good, or good is bad and bad is good, or normal is not normal and not normal is normal. These 1,000 banks that are selling are also forced to fail. Back when Reagan was president, there was regulations placed on corporations, and a lot of the Democrats figured it was too many President Reagan thought it was too many regulations. He thought that it was making the companies and it was putting shackles on the companies. Movement, so they couldn't move. So he wanted to deregulate, now, folks, I'm not saying that government's regulations is bad, because if you're going out into your neighbor's yard and you're throwing garbage out in your neighbor's yard, there are probably laws out there to say you shouldn't throw a certain amount of garbage. That's why they got garbage service. So you won't be just tossing garbage in your neighbor's yard. And that's understandable. But they got it now to the point that companies are being overregulated still. Now, Medicaid, that's why the medical debate that President Obama's into, he's trying to gain control over the whole thing. Now, if he's not a socialist, I don't know who is. He's already had the GM CEO fired. So what does that tell you? It might look like the president is a strong man on the surface, but if you bag somebody in the corner and you put pressure on them, they're gonna get out of there. Now, this president that we have is a figurehead. Not only did God put him in his position, but God also allowed the globalists to put him in the position. Because God controls everything. He controls even the globe. They can't do one thing without God's permission. Or Satan can't do one thing without his permission. Okay? If anybody's out there, feel free to call in and give me your input. Now, I wanted to try and let y'all hear a Russian economist say that the United States will be broken up into pieces. I don't know where that is. But the secret societies are going to launch this new world order in the coming days, coming weeks, coming months, coming years, whenever God decides he's going to come back. Now, in the meantime, the United States is not in Bible prophecy. So that means that a few things can happen to the United States. Now, I'm not looking forward to a few things happening to the United States. Now, what gets me is these Christians who believe that there is no rapture. Now, what really gets me is the people who believe that there is a rapture, but they got too many things to do here to look for God's coming. Now, I'm the last person that should be looking for Christ's coming. But, you know, and I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but I'm doing what I'm supposed to do right here when I'm telling you about Jesus Christ and him crucified. So I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Paul said, I don't know if I'd rather be out of the body or in the body. It's beneficial to you, for Paul being unselfish, that I stay in the body, but I'd rather be outside of the body. He said, I cannot tell between the two. Now, come on. The streets of gold are much better than potholes. I'm tired of living in a society where it's like a big challenge to speak to the person who's walking straight in front of you at a grocery store. I'm tired of hearing stupid news of people being dead. I hate watching the FBI's Most Wanted. I'll watch it, but my wife mostly watches it. But, I don't understand why. Now, the excuse that some of the people at my church give, that they want the tribulation to never start, and they want my grandkids to grow up, and I want to see Ronald graduate from college or get out the military. I want to see what he's going to do. I want to see my grandkids grow up to be 200 years old. I mean, look. This world is cursed. What part of that don't you understand? Now, here's the deal. Everybody wants to see their relatives get saved before Jesus Christ comes back, as if they're doing the saving. Now, who did Paul say give the increase? Who did Paul say planted and watered? And who give the increase again? And how many people Paul John said is going to be saved in the tribulation period? Now, I understand that you want your relatives saved. But there's going to reach a point where you can't save all your relatives. You're not going to be able to save any of them anyway. God is only going to be the one to save any of your relatives. I get so tired of these people talking about we need to get people into the kingdom before Jesus Christ comes back. Do you get it? Do you understand that Jesus... If y'all are reading the same Bible I'm reading, the New Testament, in a way, is sort of more scary than the old. Because you know where God was coming from in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you know where God's coming from because it's coming from grace. But how much do you test that grace? And I'm talking to me, too. I'm talking to him. I'm the number one person. Now, I'm not saying I go out and cheat on my wife lie and cheat, on purpose and do all this other stuff. And watch pornography and all this other stuff. But, I'm not saying I do all those things, but God needs to, he strengthens me. He gives me strength because when he talked to the church in Philadelphia, he says, you're weak. What did he tell the church in Laodicea? You're strong, you need of nothing. You don't need anything from me. That's what gets me worried of people who say, well, I got to get my uncle, my cousin saved. Who are you relying on? You know, we have to get my family saved. There's a good chance that most of your family is not going to be saved until after the tribulation, until the tribulation period is almost over. Now, I do understand that you're concerned, but those are the same people who won't come to soul winning at my church. Those are the same people. Now, I know they pray, because I talked to one of the ladies today. Now, I know they pray, and I'm not criticizing nobody. I'm just saying, my point is this. God gives a special reward for those who love is coming. Now, for me, my job, my duty is what I'm doing now. Plus. So I'm not saying go be lazy and curl up and put on your slippers and bun and eat bonbons on the couch. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, do you love his coming? Now, I'm the last person that should be loving his coming. Not, like I said, not that I'm doing anything wrong, bad, super bad. But there's some things that God needs to pull out of me. He says, work it out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's sort of like when he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's sort of like a potter knocking out the lumps. Have you anybody out there ever made biscuits or pancakes when you had to pop out the crust might be still dry in a bubble, and you have to pop it and then make sure it goes flat? For those who have made biscuits or something like that. Well, it's the same thing. Work out your salvation. God is working out through us his salvation. Now, we are here for a purpose before Jesus Christ comes back, and that purpose is to win souls, to pray, to intercede, to get a closer walk with Jesus, just a closer walk with thee. We need to get a closer walk with Jesus. We are here to do all those things. I'm not saying we're not here to do all those things, but the urgency will not come unless you think Christ is, unless you know Christ is coming back. Now, for every generation, God is, and the Bible prophecy is unique, because every generation had an antichrist, or a possible antichrist. Every generation even had a mark, believe it or not, some form of a mark. Even our last generation, before this generation, Adolf Hitler was marking people. So generations back, people have had an understanding that Jesus Christ can come back immediately. And God fixed Bible prophecy that way. So everybody would think there's a possibility that Christ can come back at any minute. So in 41 minutes, I want to point out some things that could come down the pike now or later. I believe that as I read the Word of God, actually the last radio program, I was reading the Word of God, I was reading Scripture, I was reading Matthew 24. And in Matthew 24, something struck at me that God didn't allow me to see a long time ago. And many times I read Matthew 24, I didn't see this. And what I'm seeing or saw at that day is in Matthew 24, verse 7, the difference between Matthew 24:6 and Matthew 27 is striking, especially when Matthew 7 starts and then goes into it and finishes off. It appears to me that there is a quantum shift. And what I mean by quantum shift is that things change abruptly. The day of the Lord should come as a thief in the night. Obviously, we believe that. We believe that at a moment, at a twinkle of an eye, at the last trunk, the dead in Christ, at a twinkle of an eye, that's quicker than a blink, that things can change upon the earth. Now, verse 6 says, and ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these other must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, all of a sudden, quantum leap, quantum paradigm shift. It says, for nation, it's just out of nowhere, for nation shall rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom. Now, that's not what the big deal I'm talking about. Now, the big deal is right here that just time passed. So let's just use 1948 as a marker. There's always been wars and rumors of wars since 1948, even before 1948. There's been two major wars before 1948, but let's just use 1948 onward. There have been wars and rumors of wars. But verse 7 is a paradigm shift. It says, for nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Now, we can account this as World War I or World War II. But that was not the end. The end is not yet. But on here, God is actually giving you the end. So we know World War I and World War II is not the end. So World War III could possibly be the end, the next major war. Now, it says, for nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, here's my point. There should be pestilence, earthquakes, and famines. Of course, I read that out of context, but it's, and there should be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of what? Sorrow. So the tribulation period just started. Verse 8. See, they don't say that, but I'm connecting the dots. Line upon line, precept upon precept. So the tribulation period has started in verse 8. But the precursor, the tribulation period starting, is verse 7, World War III. Now, what came after World War III? What comes after major wars? Normally, pestilence, famines, the earthquakes are added in there, which I believe it is the coming of Christ for the church. That's just me. That's just my personal opinion. Don't get hot and bothered. Okay. The pestilence is kind of unique. Anybody heard of any pestilence lately in the news? Now, you notice it came at, the God is expressing the fact that pestilence is present after the nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. So, the swine flu has not reached a pandemic yet. It has not reached the scale of killing mass millions of people yet. Now, the major war, or the big war, World War III, and let's just use our imaginations here, just started in verse 7. After that, there's famines, there's pestilence, and there's earthquakes. Okay, hopefully I ain't mix up nobody yet. What I'm trying to get at is this. Swine flu can be I was looking at my phone, looked like it hung up on me for a second. The swine flu can be a precursor a year out or a precursor a few weeks out. So what are you talking about? Well, the swine flu could be an immediate. Now, do I believe the church is going to be here to see World War III? Yes. Do I think we should look for World War III? No, we should look for Jesus Christ. Everybody's too busy looking for the Antichrist. That's one thing I have. If you listen to any of my present shows, I don't think we should go out looking for the Antichrist. The church was never, that's why we think we're going to be here, because we think the church was told to look for the Antichrist. It was a warning. The Antichrist is a warning. Now, you notice that the church thought that the resurrection hardly had came, and what did Paul have to come and do? He had to come console the church. He said, the resurrection has not come. In Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians 15, he had to explain that, don't you know that a seed that's laid into the ground comes out of different seed? And he had to mention this stuff, and then he had to mention in Thessalonians where he said that for the dead should rise first, and we who are alive and remain should be caught up in the air. So those people who believe that there is it's not a rapture, I noticed that they use very little scripture. What they do is they go for Matthew 24. I don't know how they make it work out of there. They actually brainwash the believers. Now, does God let people get it wrong? And I'll stay out of that one because I have no idea. Okay. I want to talk about abortion, and I want to talk about homosexuality, and I want to talk about various other things or issues that is on my mind. Abortion is wrong. And we will cry about a cat dying, but we have no concern, or a dog dying, but we have no concern about the. We can justify sin all we want. We can say, well, this is not sin because everybody else thinks it's not, and everybody else says it's not, so it's not. I mean, we've been doing that for ages. See, God has been merciful to the United States. He has not slammed the door on us yet. He has not dropped the hammer on us yet. But he's been merciful. He's very, very patient. But the more patient he gets, the more worse we get. And the more worse we get, the more we shorten his mercy. And the mercy is going to get shorter and shorter. Now, here's what I want to talk. I'm going to go back to abortion in a second, but here's something else I want to talk about what I just got to talking about. Now, what I was trying to get, one of the things I want to talk about real quick is that things can change very quickly. And I'll go back to abortion. I'm kind of tie this together some more. Things can change very quickly. Now, what I mean by that is that there's no signs at all that Israel and Iran and its neighbors, Israel's neighbors, are going to get into it. So right now, as you look at the news, there's no Gaza war, there's no nothing. But though, if you look back, even the Russian war came overnight. See, what I'm trying to say is on 888, there was a war invasion of Georgia. But on 688, we wasn't expecting that. Earlier this year, there was a Gaza war. Gaza war, and Israel went in and smoked out Gaza. And there was no sign. I didn't see it. Of course, some people out there, news buffs that like to listen to the news on the Internet, or see the news on the Internet, read the news on the Internet, might have saw it, but the majority of Americans didn't see it. So my point is, we think things have to be almost slow motion. But most things in American history happen very quickly. John F. Kennedy's assassination, the space shuttle challenges, all this stuff. The Berlin Wall, even the Berlin Wall, I mean, we saw it coming a while back, but at the same time, it's almost as if it immediately fell. Oklahoma City bombings, 9/11, only took about a couple seconds. And woke up one morning, and there you go. So we have to get out of our frame of mind that these things can happen in slow motion. Our history has changed overnight. Now, major wars have developed over time. And I've also believed that, just like World War One started with the assassination of Duke Ferdinand, something like that. Now, that developed, too. So even Adolf Hitler's war, World War III, everybody saw it coming, but it developed slowly. Now, World War III has developed slowly. You say, what do you mean? Well, remember Bush was talking about if we keep this up, it's going to be World War III about a year ago. He said that in 1988. Well, it was developing earlier than that, since the Bush administration at least. Remember he said Putin was a man I can trust. I just looked in his eyes and fell in love. The music came on, and I fell in love with, Putin. But things can happen very quickly. So we need to get out of our mind that things take a long time to happen, because World War III is probably going to happen a lot quicker than both those two wars put together. Way quicker. Because a news type of war can start where it's not really based on machinery, you know, technical maneuvers, and we got to ship all our weapons over there before the major war starts and meet me here, you know, that type of thing. Well, it'd be more like, wow, what happened? Missiles are coming over here. I mean, they can deliver missiles at the door. You know, it's like we never had a, there's a time where they didn't deliver food at one point in time, and now they deliver food. So it's like delivering missiles. You know, now they deliver missiles. So now what does that have to do with abortion? Well, abortion is something where God is going to come and he's going to take out vengeance on the United States for abortion and the rest of the world on abortion. He has not forgotten abortion. He's going to take out a vengeance for homosexuality and a lot of other things. But God loves the person. He just hates the action. God loves the homosexual, the person, but he hates the homosexuality. Okay? It's just God's nature. And people out there can hate me and dislike me if they want, but that's God. Okay? Let me play this clip of this little girl talking about abortion. She's very wise, very bright girl. Here we go. Wait, hold on. I have to turn it up a little bit so y'all can hear it.
What if I told you that right now someone was choosing if you were going to live or die? What if I told you that this choice wasn't based on what you could or couldn't do, what you've done in the past, or what you would do in the future? And what if I told you you could do nothing about it? Fellow students and teachers, thousands of children are right now in that very situation. Someone is choosing, without even knowing them, whether they are going to live or die. That someone is their mother, and that choice is abortion. Every day, 115,000 children are dying through abortion. 115,000. That means that 5,000 children would die every hour. All those lives, gone. All that potential, gone. And all that hope and future. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Oh, it's not really killing, after all, a fetus isn't a child, right? Why do we think that just because a fetus can't talk or do what we do, it isn't a human being yet? The word fetus comes from the Latin word, meaning young one or young child. Some babies are born after only 5 months. Is this baby not human? We would never say that, yet abortions are performed on 5-month-old fetuses all the time. Or do we only call them humans if they're wanted? No, fetuses are definitely humans, knit together in their mother's womb by their wonderful creator, who knows them all by name. Some people might say that, since abortion's legal now, it doesn't matter.
Okay, abortion's legal now, it doesn't matter. That means if the masses think a turd out of a stool is worth $100, guess what it's worth? $100. Even though to you, in your mind, it might be worth nothing but crap. Okay? So, let's listen to the next one. God bless.
But if an action is unjust, it needs to be illegal, and it has to be our business. And this particular law has a huge impact on our society. In 1997, over 1 million abortions took place just in the U.S. And just last year, over 42 million abortions happened worldwide. I'd say that's a huge impact. I know some people say that the mother has a right to abort. After all, her life is dramatically impacted by having a baby. But I'm asking you to think about the child's rights that were never given to it. No matter what rights the mother has, it doesn't mean we can deny the rights of the fetus. Talking about the mother's choice, the mother may have had a choice not to have unprotected sex in the first place. We must remember that with our rights and our choices come responsibilities, and we can't take someone else's rights away to avoid our responsibilities. At this point, I imagine the age-old question arises. What if the mother didn't choose to have sex? What if she was raped? But let's look at the facts for the U.S. as an example. Only...
Okay, well... That, is, she's very wise in her age, but she's also passionate about the issue. Let's listen to the last part.
1% of all American abortions are hard case categories. This includes rape, incest, and the life of the mother being in danger. 1%. That hardly justifies the disturbing volume of abortions that happen these days. And who's to say abortion is the easy way out? I don't think people understand the effects of abortion on a woman. I don't have time to list all the negative after effects, but here are a few examples of the physical effects. 17% of women who've had abortions face complications in their subsequent pregnancies. Some may not even be able to give birth at all. They are also at a greater risk of developing breast cancer if they have an abortion. But perhaps the worst effects are the emotional ones. Women who have an abortion tend to have more mood disorders substantial enough to provoke them to harm themselves. In addition, women who have an abortion are 5 times more likely to have problems with drug and alcohol abuse. Abortion leaves a woman feeling lost and uncertain about their future. Almost 1/3 of all women who've had an abortion are dissatisfied with their decision. It certainly is not the cure-all people think it is. I read a story on the Focus on the Family website. It was about a girl who had an abortion. She writes, I had an abortion at the age of 17, and it was the worst thing I ever did. I would never recommend it to anyone because it comes back to haunt you. When I tried having children, I lost 3. Something happened to my cervix during the abortion. Sharon Osborne. Hers is just one of the many heart-wrenching stories that nobody tells these days. And those same ones are the ones that we need to hear about. Thank you for taking time to think about the issue of abortion, to think about the unborn, and to think about the effects of abortion on a mother. If you walk away with anything after this speech, walk away with the words of Horton. You know him, the elephant that risked his life to save that little speck. Remember him and his famous quote. Even though you can't see them or hear them at all.
I don't know what happened there. I kind of cut off early. Okay. So this little girl is talking about abortion. And she's very passionate about it. And you know what? I don't blame her. I'm going to talk about the repercussions of abortion. And I'm gonna sort of go a different direction, but still be in the same category. I was talking about earlier. I don't have the article, but President Obama went over to Moscow, and he was talking about a new type of terror. He didn't use the word. Obama doesn't use the word terrorism anymore. He's talking about a homegrown nuclear bomb. And I was asking myself, why is he talking about a homegrown nuclear bomb when, and it's the globalists are trying to change the enemy from radical Islam to white, black, Puerto Rican Al-Qaeda, whatever Al-Qaeda they can come up with, as long as it's American citizen. And the globalists, whatever the lower tiers, well, they're not. Henry Kissinger is not a super low tier, but he stepped down, I believe. He could be one of the main globalists. I don't know, but he would be their shadow man. But he's talking about Obama coming for the new world order. I really think that he's going to be Charlie Brown teacher. Well, President Obama was talking about a homegrown nuclear bomb. And I hear, like, there's a few, when you go on YouTube, there's a lot of reports on there's a homegrown nuclear bomb, or there's a, white Al-Qaeda, black Al-Qaeda, the enemy is slowly becoming me and you. The Patriot Act already said that the enemy was going to be me and you. Oh, he's jaywalking. Stick him in jail. You know, here, listen to this.
Thing going on in Great Britain that Al-Qaeda written up all these Britons, essentially, 1,400 strong, apparently, in a new, what's being called a new white Al-Qaeda army. Tougher to detect, potentially.
Yeah, because they're not Muslims. They look just
exactly
like
right.
regular British people.
They're converts.
Also, we're going to talk more.
Now, tell me, please tell me. What is a white man going to do with a neutron bomb to destroy thousands of people? Now, I'm not saying there's not nobody out there, black man or Puerto Rican man, that's going to actually want to do that, but what would be the globalist motive for a white man, a black man, or whatever, Al-Qaeda, black man, white man, Puerto Rican? What would be the catalyst for that? What would be the excuse that they would use, the reason why these people would do that? Of course, they're going to have to twist the truth like they always do. Call good even, evil good. Like 1984, you know, black is white, white is green. I mean, just make anything up. Make, you know, you're supposed to believe it. If you hear it enough time, Adolf Hitler's minister said, if you hear a lie enough times, you'll believe it. There's no place like home. There's nothing but narcissism. There's no weapons of mass destruction. There's no weapons of mass destruction. There's no weapons of mass destruction. Of course, there was weapons of mass destruction. What did they tell us? There was weapons of mass destruction. There is weapons of mass destruction, you know. And we wish they would have done the first. That's telling the truth. If you hear that enough times, you probably believe it. But they told us a lie. There were weapons of mass destruction. We got to get in there. Saddam Hussein is dangerous. If we don't, he's going to kill off 80,000 million Americans. What turned out happening? They killed 1 million plus Iraqis for a dollar. That ain't going to be worth nothing pretty soon. So they sentenced them not only to death, they sentenced them to eternal damnation. If Christianity's right, of course, if Islam's right, they get 72 versions. That makes me sick, man. That makes me totally sick. These people become president of the United States, they know what's going on. Why do you think Kennedy came off and said what he said? Let's listen to Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
Yep. Next part, part two.
Chill of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic...
Hey, I want to stop there right quick. That's one thing about Blog Talk Radio. I wish these archives can be started off from where they left off, and then you can have two stops. One permanent stop and one, stop just to pause or whatever. But he is talking about his administration was not going to hide the truth from the American people. Now, what did President Obama say that he was going to do? He's going to be more open to the American people. Now, I would like to watch the way I talk about the president, but the only thing stopping me is God. Trust me. I'll be his worst critic. Me and my wife know that we can't come out and get, and we already got in trouble with payday loans. We can't come out and get more payday loans to get out of debt. Obama, President Obama seemed to believe that he can come out and get more government bailouts and spend money to get out of something that was caused by spending. Now, the derivative markets are the cause. Now, actually, let me back up. Spending too much is the cause of the current problem. But the problem that is coming is so sophisticated to the naked eye, meaning, but if you really stop and think, have you ever had a kid come up to you and say, you know, everybody, all the grown-ups are trying to figure out something, and the kid comes up and says, Dad, why don't you do this? And then, okay, boom, the car starts. Well, it's the same thing. A lot of people think, you know, the people, secret society studiers or people who believe in conspiracies are wackos. But maybe we have the point. The point is the derivative markets are so sophisticated and then so unregulated that it's causing a bigger, way bigger balloon. You know how big the sun is from to the earth? Well, if they would have just, if it was just, the problem was just overspending, it would be comparing the earth to Jupiter. But since the problem is derivatives, it's comparing the earth to the biggest sun out in the universe. And those things are 1,000 times bigger than our sun. So that's, the derivative markets have blown all this into great problems. So that most Americans will be eaten out of, not a doggy bag from Denny's or Outback Steakhouse, but a doggy bag from the garbage trash. And I don't want to say that because it hurts me very much. And why does it hurt me? Because the American people are asleep. And yes, even if the media was not a fourth branch of government, it's still up to the media because they feel, who works for the media? Americans. Or most Americans, at least American media, should be Americans. So they're obligated to tell us the truth, but they don't tell us the truth anymore because they have crooked government sitting in their studio. But I won't go there. Okay? Let me finish this Kennedy one.
Chill of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine.
Okay. Let's listen to the last part and then I come back and say a few words.
That combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding. And from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence in the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it.
Oh, that was deep. President Bush used to get hot and bothered when he was questioned by the media. And when the media did hold them in check, President got so hot and bothered that he tried other means to get out of it. And it's continuing on with this administration. The change man, the man who will bring change, change. That's what he's saying. Change is chain. That's what he's doing. It's chaining us to a globalist agenda that we ain't going to be able to shake, my friend. We're not going to be able to shake that globalist agenda at all. And I said that I would not talk about my president because the biblical Bible told me to. But at the same time, if we could at least bring to light darkness without rebelling against the government, then that's fine. I mean, even Alex Jones, well, he's not telling anybody to go and rebel against the government. That's not what he's been doing. But he's been telling us to be aware. Now, there's going to come a time, folks, and Jerry Valenti has said this. He's the greatest, to me, he's one of the greatest forecasters ever. He has said that there's going to be revolution. And I think that revolution is non-stoppable. And for all you people who love this world and the poisons that it creates, trying to kill off of the people, I mean, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, I just don't get it. On this last part, I want to talk to y'all about something that's been on my mind. And I would love for y'all to just open your minds what I'm about to say. I'm going to talk about hell. The Bible talks about hell, and I will say this about hell. If you barbecue, and I'm not trying to be funny, and it might sound so simple that it might pass over some people's head, but when you barbecue, you get so close to the fire, you burn your finger, burn something on your body. That hurts. You say, well, duh. Don't take a rocket science to figure that out. Now, what I want to get y'all to visualize is that if you are not a Christian, let's just say you're just a normal atheist, or you believe that there is a God, but he's not going to touch you into some fairy tale story, you know, blah, 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 blah. Open your eyes for a second. Let's say that you believe that there is a God, but he's far away in some distant land, and you get sick and you die. Now stay with me. Let's say the Christians were right, and the angel of death, he just comes. Now it's not like a fairy tale like you thought it was going to be. The angel is actually there, as if he was a real person. Say, you ready? He said, I'm going to heaven. No, you're not. You know, take him up, to, you know, and stand in front of God. He says, you know, or stand in front of the angels and say, am I in the book of life? And they say, no, and they take you to hell. Now, picture being in hell, the worst place you can think about. Now, you can't come back. Because in all the things that happen in the world, rather than be you got a bad dream, you've been in a car wreck and you've been seriously injured, you fell, broke something. You're in the Middle East, you're in the army, and it's hot as heck, and you're putting in the pipeline, and you just think that's hell on earth. Even if a rape person's being raped, the rape is over. Sooner or later, the rape is over, even though it causes problems for the rest of your life. What I'm trying to say is all bad things most of the time come to an end, unless you're a slave and you die in slavery, or you're a soldier and you die in World War One or Two. But what my point is this, all those things are over. If you're in prison for 20, 30 years, those things are over. You get out. Even if you're in prison, you still, no one's whipping you, no one's beating you. Now, if you're in a concentration camp somewhere in another China or something like that, now I can understand. But my point is this, hell is MC, is 3 equals MC squared, meaning it's pi, it's continuously. Hell just keeps going. Nonstop, billions, trillions of years from here. And what I'm trying to get y'all to understand, I don't think the human mind can conceive it. I don't think I don't even think preachers conceive that hell is eternal. I don't think that hell is eternal. To the person in the chat room, I apologize. I have a bad, bad habit. I'm pretty sure you heard some other radio programs of not looking at the chat room, and I'm working on that. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to bring my double screen downstairs. I got a double screen of ViewSonics double screen, and I'm going to start doing that. But the last show that I had, people were okay, but there's one dude in there, a girl, whatever, was making some kind of crazy comments. So, and before that, I really don't have too many problems with the chat room. It's mostly callers that call in asking me, do I want any crumbs? Or asking me, did I vote for the end, or meaning of President Obama, which is a racist person anyway. So I sort of get away from, and I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. So what I mean by that is I can't look at the chat room and talk. I have the gift of gab, but I don't have the gift of gab and read something. Some people can do that, So I'm not reading what I'm saying, and I'm not going to have a good time. So I can't type. And the thing is, I need to get the premium package back, but I have so many problems with the premium package that the phone was much better for me to use than the premium package. I'm trying to get that back again. I got 2 minutes left here, and I'm going to come back on the Prophecy Zone and talk about hell. I'm also going to be having a website called The Prophecy Zone, www.theprophecyzone. It's not ready, so don't go there thinking it's ready. I'm trying to have it ready before the end of this week, and I'm also going to have a new website called it's going to call www.zomega2.com. Now, you can go there right now and upload videos. It's nothing there. It's a silhouette. Matter of fact, I got to start pumping videos there tonight or tomorrow, either before the end of this week. And I'm probably going to make another website after that, after I get websites. Thank you for the person in the chat room. I'm going to try to get you some company in the chat room. I swear. If I was a swear man, which I'm not, but I'm gonna try to get advertisements out. It takes a while because I don't know how to do it. If anybody out there know how to do it, mass invites with your YouTube friends, Blog Talk Radio friends, please let me know. God bless everybody. Y'all have a wonderful day. I'm gonna start having guests. I just sort of still working on websites and things. But I'm going to try to have guests. If anybody knows what happened to Recharge Radio, please let me know. I'm still looking for Recharge Radio. I thought I heard her say she's going back to work or something. But just leave it on my website or leave it on somebody in the chat room know what happened. Please let me know. I would love that information. God bless everybody.